Good morning, everybody. Is anyone going to lead children's worship today?
No.
Okay. So everybody gets to stay and listen to me. All right. I hope that you noticed a theme from the songs this morning. In my mind, the theme was that we have joy and we can rejoice to God for what he has done for us. And as a result of that, we should want to sing praises of glory to him with rejoicing. And thank you, Piper Joy, for showing that even the youngest of us can sing with joy throughout the service. Let's start with a prayer. Dear Father, be with us this morning as we examine your words about the fruit of the Spirit. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to discover the truth about joy and how you want us to have joy in our lives regardless of what our circumstances are. We know that you're always working in the lives for good, for those who love you, regardless of what's happening. So please allow us to put our trust in you always. And Father, today, just be with me and allow your Spirit to work through me and speak through me so that your truth is only spoken. And we pray through your Son's name. Amen. So to start with, what I'd like to do is read Galatians 5, 22 and 23 together in unison. So if you'd read with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isn't that last phrase interesting? Against such things there is no law. Why do you think Paul writes that? Okay. Yeah, I think what he's saying is if you live with all these specific traits, these fruit of the Spirit in your lives, then there would be no evil happening against one another, right? We'd all be loving each other just like God loves us. You wouldn't need a law if that was the case. Unfortunately, we're a fallen and broken people, and that doesn't happen. So today we're going to take a deeper look at joy. According to one source I looked at, if you counted up all the words for joy or rejoice in the Hebrew and the Greek in the Bible, it comes out to be about 400 times. But if you look at the words for like happy or happiness, it occurs only about a dozen times in our English Bible. Some people would say there's more, but I think they're counting the word, what we translate as blessed, as being with the happy group. But overwhelmingly, the words for joy and rejoice are used heavily in the Bible. So what are some things that bring you joy in life? Art, nature,
music,
family,
babies.
Yeah, awesome.
Kitties.
Yeah. A lot of things in this world that can bring us joy. So in our current society, though, in today's world, is there much difference when people say joy or happy? Yeah. I don't think there's much difference in our society today. But from the Bible perspective, I think there is a difference, and that's what we're going to kind of dig into today. So the Greek word that's used in the Bible for joy is chara, and it means to have joy or feeling of inward gladness or cheerfulness. It's an inward feeling. It's derived both from the word charis, which is grace or gift, and the word charos, which means to rejoice or to express joy. So when we think of joy in the Bible, when we read it, you can kind of think of it as kind of a natural response that you have towards a grace gift that's been given to you. So the Greek word for happy is makarios, and the meaning there is pertaining to being fortunate or happy because of circumstances, fortunate, blissful, or blessed because of being privileged in some way. So today, though, when we think of happy, people think generally about the feeling of pleasure or satisfaction or being gleeful or ecstatic about something that's happened. Biblically speaking, though, joy isn't a human-based happiness that comes and goes. Rather, true joy is of divine origin. It's a fruit of the Spirit that's manifested in both good and hard times. Joy is a deep-down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well with him or herself and the Lord. Someone may feel happiness or being gleeful or exuberant or excited, But all those are just fleeting external circumstances and emotions. On the other hand, joy is more of an inward, spirit-given expression that flourishes in good times and when times are strenuous and tough. Joy is not fleeting, but it's something that will continue in your life. And it can satisfy the heart and mind in some very unique and marvelous ways. As Christians, we're taught to be filled with joy and to rejoice throughout the scriptures. Paul is famous for this in his writings. He brings it up many times. Here's a few examples. In Philippians 3:1, he says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." And in Philippians 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And remember where Paul is at when he's writing these things. He's in prison for teaching about Jesus and God, and he's rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 5, he talks about to rejoice always. In the Psalms, another place where joy and rejoicing is heavily quoted, mentioned, I'd like to read Psalm 118 here, where it talks about Jesus being our cornerstone. "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad." We can rejoice because God put Jesus as the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith. And that's something that we can rejoice in. It's easy to be filled with joy when things go well, right? It's very easy. However, these verses don't teach us that we should rejoice only when things go well. They say, rejoice always. In fact, in the Bible, it teaches us to be filled with joy or to rejoice even when we're going through trials. Jesus, in Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus knew in life we'd have trials and struggles and we would be persecuted, but he said, you can still rejoice because God has promised that he's going to be with you and take you home one day. James continues this in James 1, where he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that this testing of your faith produces perseverance." So we know that the Morrills have suffered great loss recently. Two of their parents have passed away in a very short period of time. They're going through some very tough trials right now. They're going through some dark valleys. But if I would ask Kevin and Allison right now if they have joy, what do you think they would say? I think they would say yes, because they have God in their lives, and he is where the joy is for them. We have many examples in the Bible that show us that you can have joy when you go through difficult trials. Some examples are when the apostles were out teaching and the Jewish leaders pulled them in here in Acts 5, and it says, "They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." They rejoiced because they were beaten for doing what God asked them to do. Paul and Silas, they were thrown in prison for teaching. And what were they doing in the prison? They were singing and praying. They were rejoicing because they were doing what God had asked them to do. We also know that Jesus had joy in the mission that he was given, even if it included death. In an amazing scripture here in Hebrews 2, it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you may will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus had joy, knowing that he was doing the will of the Father, enduring the cross, because enduring that cross, he knew that it would allow the lost to come to God. And as a result of that, there would be additional celebration and rejoicing in heaven and on earth because someone came back and was reunited with their God. Thinking back to the scripture reading we had about the parable of the lost sheep, what does that tell us about joy? Here's a shepherd that loses one of his valuable possessions. He goes out and looks for it, and he finds it. And what does he do? He's joyful. He's excited. And he wants to share that news and rejoice with other people because a lost one had come back to God. Going back to the Old Testament, there's examples there of rejoicing in trials. And if you remember back about 2 years ago, I did a lesson from Habakkuk 3. I don't know if anybody remembers that. It's 2 years ago. And I kept having you guys repeat a phrase in that lesson. Does anyone remember what that phrase was? It's only been 2 years. So what he said in chapter 3 was, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Remember that? Okay. So Habakkuk wrote that after describing all the bad things that were going to happen to Judah very soon. And in chapter 3, starting in verse 16, he says, "I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Knowing suffering and loss was about to come to the people, Habakkuk had learned that he could trust God, and with that trust comes great joy, not in the circumstances that were going to happen, but in God himself. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Yahweh had become Habakkuk's strength and joy. We just looked at a lot of scriptures here that tell us that Christians should have joy and to rejoice regardless of what's happening in your life. It sounds simple, but in reality, it can be very difficult to be content and to always rejoice in whatever situation you're going through. I think these are three key points that these scriptures bring out about joy. First, joy does not depend on circumstances. Paul learned to be content and had joy in all he went through. He was beaten multiple times. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was thrown into prison. He went without food. Habakkuk described a catastrophe coming to the people of Judah. There seemed to be no silver lining for them. It was going to happen. And yet in verse 18, we see Habakkuk was joyful. Had something changed? Like, were the sheep back in the pen? Were the figs starting to bloom on the trees again? No, nothing had changed. The situation was just as dire as it was before, but he was still joyful. So we see that true joy does not depend on circumstances. It's possible to be joy in any situation, no matter how dire it is. And it's not only possible, we're told to do it. We can only have this type of joy, though, if we are in the Lord and we're walking with him through good and bad. I saw a young man once who was struggling with some very serious issues in his life, and he asked his friend, who was a follower of God and Jesus, and how he was able to stay calm and controlled through all the bad things that were happening. And the friend replied, "I know that God is with me, and he will help me and give me the strength to overcome what is happening. I know I can count on him." The friend was joyful no matter what the situation he was in in that point of life. And I also believe that he had joy in that moment because he's able to share his faith with someone who was struggling in life as well. Second, joy is a decision we make. Paul said, "I have learned to be content." He said, "I will rejoice." Habakkuk says, "I will rejoice." They made this decision to be joyful. They decided in their hearts and before the Lord that no matter how difficult things became, they would respond with a good attitude and be joyful. True joy is not just an artificial smile that you paint across your face and cover up your true feelings. Joy is a decision that from your heart is where we'll keep a good attitude before the Lord and before men. We will remain thankful, optimistic. We will remember God's goodness and place our faith in the fact that he will be with us as we go through a trial. And there is a purpose for that trial, and that is to draw closer to God. Most times, joy will lead to gratitude, which is the quality of being thankful or readiness to show appreciation for something. So when you show gratitude for something, it typically brings more joy to you. And then when you get more joy, you want to be grateful for that, and you'll show gratitude, and you'll express that again, bringing you more joy. And it's that circular effect that as you allow joy to be in your life because of what God has promised, it will keep coming back and going over and over, and you show, as you show gratitude, and you reap that joy in your life. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." An interesting fact is that when people experience joy, they often experience stress relief, improved decision-making, and stronger creative problem-solving abilities as a result of chemicals that actually get released in your brain, like serotonin and dopamine and oxytocin and many others. So having joy in your life will actually improve your health, and it improves your life. So some great things about joy. I like how Rick Warren describes joy. He writes this. He says, "Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation." I think you put that well. God gives us many gifts and talents in our lives to use for him that can bring a joy to us, and it can bring joy to others. But we have to choose to use those gifts and talents that we have been given. No matter how small or insignificant our gifts may seem to us, we need to trust that God is able to use them to make a powerful and lasting impact in the world. For example, I recently saw a young Christian nurse administer medical aid to someone who had an urgent need for care, and it was outside a normal working practice environment. Why did the nurse do that? I believe because they knew that God put them in that place with special skills and training to touch someone who needed help and to show godly love towards that person. And you know what? I believe that young nurse had joy doing it because they were doing something God had gifted them to do. Using your gifts should bring you joy. And I think that the person who received the help felt joy as well, because in their time of need, God put someone there to show them love and kindness. So using our gifts can make an impact by showing someone all about God's love. Joy is a gracious gift to us from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit that's living within us. It's a distinguishing mark of a Christian. Our church family is called to be a joyful community in a world desperately seeking and in need of some abundant, fulfilling, flourishing life filled with joy. So let's choose and decide as a church to use our gifts and be a joy-filled example to our community. Number three, joy comes from God, and it is because of God that we have joy. How is this type of joy possible? Yes, it is a decision. It's a willingness for us to say, "I will," even when it's difficult, but it's also more than that. Because if someone is far from the Lord and not following him closely, it's going to be very difficult for that person to demonstrate joy from the Father, no matter how many times they say, "I will be joyful." Habakkuk and Paul say, "I will rejoice in the Lord," because of their relationship with God. They are joyful because they know who God is. They are joyful because they have experienced personal salvation from the Lord, which is far outweighs all the trials that they were going through in life. And they knew that God was in control. We can choose to be joyful because even in the midst of suffering, God is present with us. In Galatians 5, joy here is listed as one fruit of the Spirit. And the closer you get to God, the easier and more natural it will be to make that choice to be joyful. But if you are far from the Lord, no matter how hard you strive to have that kind of joy, it's going to be very hard to have that joy in your life. Gene and I have been using the Bible Recap by Tara Lee Cobble to read through the Bible this year. What we like about the plan is that Tara Lee gives a recap of the reading each day and what she thinks it means from all of her studies that she's done. And I find it very insightful. She brings a lot of very interesting facts up, and it makes you really think and ponder about what the reading is it's teaching you and how it fits into God's overall plan for us. And at the end of her recap, she pulls out something from the reading that she calls her God shot. And her God shot is what shows how God is working in the scriptures to fulfill his plan. And at the very end, she brings it to a close by talking about the joy God is bringing about, and ends by saying, "And God is where the joy is." I find that very encouraging throughout the day, and I think it fits this lesson really well. We can have joy because of God, of who God is and what he's done for us. Without God, we will never have true joy. He is where the joy is. So let's talk about some application for today. Do you feel like you've lost your joy or feel that you've been robbed of your joy? Joy is a mindset, a mind set on God, and a determination that no matter what situation you're facing in life at the time, to remember the goodness of God and how much he loves you. I realize that might sound a little trite, but especially if you're experiencing great loss in your life or carrying a very heavy burden. I'm not suggesting that you should deny your pain or try to stuff it down or think that you should always have positive emotions in your life. If you look at the psalmists, they repeatedly poured their hearts out to God with the things they were struggling with. I also, like everyone else, have had many times in my life and still do where times where joy feels fleeting because of things that are going on, from broken relationships, loneliness, illnesses, disappointments in life, work situations, dreams not being completely fulfilled, having tremendous loss in your life. All of us experience some of these things. The reality is, though, we can be tempted to let momentary troubles cloud our view of who God is. We can let the pain and disappointment of the moment swallow us up and take us under, causing us to lose our long-term perspective. We forget the many blessings God has given us. When we do that, doubts about God's goodness may slowly creep in and our joy starts to fade. On this side of heaven, life is going to be full of problems, both big and small. If it feels like your joy is teetering, here are some tips to help you change your focus and your mindset. Spend time in God's presence instead of consuming your time with watching TV, sports, playing on the internet, social media, and things like that. Instead, spend time with God in prayer. Talk to him and give thanks because you spend time with those you love. Spend time with God. Read the Bible, learning who God is, and meditate on what you read and what it means for your life. Put your trust in God, knowing he will be faithful to his promises. Spend time praising and worshiping God. You know, worship is not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Number two, develop a heart of gratitude. Even if you have to strain to find something to be grateful for, do it, because it'll bring joy to your life. Three, when things get bad, keep your eyes on God and Jesus. Share your hurts and pains with someone who encourages you and pray with you. Number five, watch your thoughts. When they turn negative, force yourself to meditate on a Bible verse, and then look for the good around you and think on that. Number six, intentionally keep God's commandments and put into practice what you read in the Bible. Seven, do something nice for someone. Focus on others when you feel overwhelmed with your situation, because helping others will bring you joy as well. So to wrap up, when life is beating you up and taking your joy away, what can you do? Keep praying and draw near to God. If you want to get warm, what do? You go next to the fire. If you want to get wet, what do? You go jump in the water. If you want to get joy, what do? You get closer to the one who gives and brings joy, God. Draw close to God. Think of all that God has graciously done for you and given to you, the salvation he has provided, and the promise of a home with him one day. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And we sang that song. God will give us the strength to get through the trials and the dark valleys by giving us his joy. Remember in Hebrews 12:3 it says, "To not grow weary and lose heart, but to remember that Jesus endured opposition from others and even endured going to the cross for us because of the joy he had in fulfilling the will of the God, his Father." And we can have that same joy in life if we persevere through the trials and the good things in our life. In a moment, we're going to sing, "Behold, because he lives." Because Christ endured the cross and was raised from the grave, we too are raised to a new life with God. And as a result, we have a joy in God, and he will give us strength to face whatever comes our way. Have you lost the joy in your life? Then I would encourage you to trust and depend on God. Let him be in control. Allow God to be the potter and realize you are the clay, not the other way around. God is the potter. Let him mold you and shape you into the best version of you that you can possibly be in the only way that he is able to do it. Allow him to have the control. He cares more about your long-term good and character than your short-term comfort and happiness in this life. Let God carry out his plans. Let him deal with all those things that are just too big and difficult for us to handle on our own. Make up your mind not to worry about those things which you can't control. Let God help. Be willing to praise God regardless of external circumstances. Praise God for the salvation he provides in Jesus Christ. Trust in God that he will help you overcome. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. What are you going through today? Does it seem like your world is falling apart? Know this. You don't always choose what you go through, but you can choose how you go through it. Choose joy. And know that God is good, just, and merciful. He will be with you. No matter what you face, you can choose to say, God is where my joy is. If anyone has need for a prayer today, or if you want to give your life over to God to find true joy in this life, then please come as we stand and sing.